The subject, the study, this first half of the month is on freedom and liberty. The subject is freedom and liberty. And last Saturday, July 4th, we celebrated what? We celebrated Independence Day in America. We pretty much celebrated America's 239th birthday. And just to kind of give you a brief overview, the original 13 colonies were under the domination of British rule. They were under the oppression of British rule. They were forced to pay taxes to England despite having no representation in the British Parliament. And during the American Revolution, the legal separation of the 13 colonies happened on July 2nd, 1776, when the Second Continental Congress voted to approve a resolution of independence. And the Declaration of Independence was approved on July 4th, 1776. And how many are happy to live in this great United States? Amen? All right. Where we have freedom and liberty in this nation. Like as I said in the prayer, that we can read our Bibles in this nation without being put in prison like in some other nations. Amen? Where you can share the gospel openly, face to face. You can share the gospel on street corners. You can share the gospel in buildings without being put in prison like in some nations. Thank God for the United States of America. To make a spiritual comparison, at one time, we too were under the rule of darkness, just like the original 13 colonies at one time were under the bondage of British rule. We too were under the rule of darkness. We were oppressed by it. What does it say in Colossians 1, verses 12 through 13? Paul writes this. He says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, dominion of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So he says about God, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And as I said a moment ago, at one time all of us were under the oppression of the kingdom of darkness. We were at one time slaves to sin, and sin is a harsh task. Master, say it with me tonight. Sin is a harsh taskmaster, but I'm freed from it in Jesus' name, by faith in Jesus. And so, friend, tonight, you may have had the thought, or perhaps you're even thinking tonight, that true liberty, this is what you might be thinking, maybe you thought this in the past, you might think that true liberty is doing what you want to do when you want to do it. And maybe some of you have had the thought, maybe tonight you're thinking the same way, that, you know, this is my life. I do with my life what I want to do with it. And you're thinking to yourself, this is true liberty. If it feels good, then I just do it. But I'm here to tell you tonight, that thought is a deceptive thought from the enemy. It's from the enemy. A lot of people think that way. This is my life, and it feels good. If it's pleasurable, I am going to do it. And because it feels good for people, because it's pleasurable, and it gives that temporary pleasure, you know, people get addicted to it, whatever that might be. And whatever you become addicted to, you become a slave to that sin, which will eventually destroy you. Does that make sense? So if you sleep around with somebody who's not your spouse, and you become addicted to that, or if you drink alcohol to forget your problems, and every time a problem comes up, you drink alcohol, guess what? You can become addicted to it, addicted to getting drunk. Or if you want to, if you're depressed and you want to get a high, you take those drugs. And every time you get depressed, you take a drug to get that high. Guess what? You eventually become addicted to it. And guess what? You become a slave to that sinful habit. And that sinful habit eventually will destroy you, hands down, no questions about it. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And this is what he says in verses 15 through 16. He writes, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. So practicing that sin, that destructive habit over and over and over again makes you a slave to that sin. And sinful, you know, continuing to live a sinful lifestyle can eventually destroy you. I'm going to read a quote here out of the Speaker's Quote Book. The Speaker's Quote Book. And it says this: freedom standing by itself inevitably degenerates into license. License, which is unbridled freedom, quickly becomes the enemy of freedom. I don't want to be a slave to sin. How about you? See, if you practice that sin could bring you pain in this life. If you're sleeping with somebody who's not your spouse or people who are not your spouse, it can bring physical illness. If you keep drinking that alcohol when you want to forget your problems, guess what? It could hurt your liver. If you keep getting high every time you're feeling depressed, it can ruin your brain cells. And not only that, not only will it hurt you in this life physically, it can hurt you eternally if you die in that state. And you know, this sin nature was passed down to us by whom? By Adam and Eve. Romans chapter 5, if you back up just a chapter, it says this in Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. Say it with me tonight. I do not want to be a slave to any kind of sin. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I've got good news for you tonight. The good news is this, is that Jesus came to this earth over 2,000 years ago, born as a baby in a manger. And how God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil because God was with him. His ministry started when he was 30 years old. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God the Father was with him. And then he died a cruel death at the age of 33 at the hands of Roman soldiers. Crucifixion on a cross. See, Jesus went to the cross and he was raised 3 days later from the dead, so that by our faith in him, we are set free from the bondage and slavery to sin. The wages of sin is death. Sin pays a wage. It's called eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans chapter 6, continuing on, verse 16. It says this. Verse 17 of Romans 6. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Jump down to verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. Say it with me. At one time, I was a slave to sin. But by faith in Jesus Christ, I am becoming a slave to righteousness. See, by the death of Jesus on the cross over 2,000 years ago, and by his resurrection, he signed our declaration of independence from the kingdom of darkness. He signed your declaration of independence. He signed my declaration of independence from the kingdom of darkness by his work on the cross and his resurrection from the dead over 2,000 years ago. He has freed you from the grip of sin. And he has freed you from the grip of sin if he is your Savior and your Lord. If Jesus Christ tonight is not your Savior, if he is not your Lord tonight, at the end of this service, you'll have the opportunity to make him your Savior and your Lord. You see, Jesus wants to be Savior. What does Savior mean? The one who saves you saves me from sin. He also wants to be your Lord. What does Lord mean? Lord means the one in full control of every part of your life. Is that good news here tonight? In order to be freed from the grip of sin, you've got to make Jesus Savior and Lord. Let me say it again. In order to be freed from slavery and bondage to sin, Jesus Christ has got to be your Savior and your Lord, the one in full control of every part of your life. Away with the mindset that says, this is my life and I do with it what I want. If it feels good, I'll do it. If it brings me pleasure, I'm just going to do it. It may bring you pleasure for a moment, but it's going to hurt you in this life and for eternity. I don't want to be a slave to sin. My faith is in Jesus Christ, my Savior and my Lord. Say it with me tonight. I do not want to be a slave to sin. Jesus Christ will be my Savior and my Lord. So Jesus saves us from the grip of sin, from bondage to sin, from slavery to sin. But he also, most importantly, saves us from what? By faith in him, by making him Lord, he saves us from eternal destruction, eternal damnation. Friends, eternity is a long time. It never, ever, ever ends. When I leave this earth, when I leave my body, I want to spend eternity with God, with Jesus. How about you? Yes. Amen? Yes. You've got to make him your Savior. You've got to make him your Lord. And maybe tonight you're in a backslidden state. Maybe you were following Jesus wholeheartedly after God. You loved Jesus, but you got upset with somebody, you got upset with God, and you've slipped back into that old mindset that I'm just going to do with my life what I want to do with it. If it feels good, if it's pleasurable, I'm going to do it. I don't care. But friend, that mindset is going to hurt you. And tonight you'll have the opportunity to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. Amen? So Jesus has come to this earth to free us spiritually. But you can also be free in other areas of your life, in the here and the now. You know, from the time that you accept Jesus as Savior and make him Lord to the point that you leave this earth, might be another 10, might be another 20, might be another 30, might be another 40 years. In other words, you've got some time left on this earth. And guess what? While you live on this earth, God wants to give you freedom from oppression in other areas of your life. For instance, he wants to give you freedom from sickness. Maybe you're dealing with sickness tonight in some part of your body, in your eyes, with your blood pressure, concerning your diabetes, whatever it might be, you're dealing with some type of illness in your life. And maybe for a long time you've been dealing with illness and sickness in your life. Maybe illness and sickness has had you under its feet. But guess what? You can be freed from that starting tonight. Amen? Amen? Matthew chapter 9, for instance. Matthew chapter 9. The four Gospels, the Gospels are full of the miracles of Jesus, the people he set free. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, will it be done to you." And their sight was restored. Who knows? These men could have been born blind. Who knows how old they were? They could have been dealing with blindness for many, many years, maybe for many decades. Blindness had them under its feet. But then Jesus showed up on the scene. And they said, "Yes, Lord, we believe that you're able to free us from slavery to sickness." And Jesus said, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And what happens? Their sight was restored. Guess what? God is no respecter of persons. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen? The Jesus who did miracles 2,000 years ago while he walked the streets of Israel is the same Jesus who is with us tonight. It's the same Jesus that can free you from slavery to sickness tonight. Amen? What honors God? What honors God? Faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Guess what? If faith honors God and you honor God with your faith in him, guess what? He is going to honor you with the miracle of healing that you need in your body. Amen? Amen. Say it with me tonight. God will set me free from slavery to sickness. In Jesus' name. Amen. By my faith in him. Tonight you might be dealing with financial oppression. Slavery to financial need all the time. Maybe you're just dependent on this place for your shelter all the time. Maybe for your meals. You never have enough money. Don't even have enough money to buy yourself a meal during the day. Guess what? God can deliver you from financial oppression and slavery. Amen? Amen. He's done it for others. He can do it for you. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 24 and forwards. It says, after Jesus and his disciple arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the two drachma tax came to Peter and asked, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, he replied. So Peter came into the house. Jesus asked him, what do you think, Simon? He asked, from whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others? From others, Peter answered. Then the sons are exempt, Jesus said to him. But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. So, Peter and Jesus were in financial what? Financial need. Jesus went ahead and performed a miracle. He said, Peter, catch a fish, open the mouth of the fish. In the mouth of the fish will be the money to pay the tax collectors. We serve the same Jesus today. You're probably not going to find money in the mouth of a fish, although you could. You're not going to find money hanging in a tree, although you may. But guess what? God can provide for you financially and abundantly. How? With a job, and if you have a job, with a better paying job. We serve a miracle working God. Amen? Amen? Peter was one of the disciples of Jesus, one of the closest three. He had faith in Jesus. And because he had faith in Jesus, Jesus was able to perform this financial miracle. If he did it for Peter, he's done it for others. Guess what? He can do it for you. Amen? Amen? Faith is knowing that you know deep down on the inside in your heart that God can do the miracle for you that he's promised you personally. That God can do the miracle for you that he's promised you in his word. Amen? Amen. God is no respecter of persons. God is looking for an undying faith. He is looking for a persistent faith, a faith that does not give up after 2 weeks, after 4 weeks of waiting for the miracle, after a year of waiting for the miracle. God honors faith that is undying and is persistent. God is looking for childlike faith. Amen? Amen. Say it with me. God is looking for undying, childlike faith in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. God honors faith. If you honor God with your faith, God is going to honor you with the miracle that you need. We serve a miracle working God. Amen? Amen? And God wants to free you from emotional depression. Maybe some of you are in slavery to depression here tonight. You feel so low that you could do a push-up under a penny. Maybe you didn't even want to get up this morning. Maybe you didn't want to see anybody today. Maybe you didn't even want to eat today. That's what depression does to a person. God wants to free you from slavery to depression and grief. Amen? We serve a miracle-working God. Final passage. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and said, "Don't cry." And then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared amongst us," they said. "Jesus has come to help his people." Now, one of the ones that was filled with awe, that was praising God, must have been this boy's mother. Would you agree? So she was in grief. She was in depression. Jesus turned her mourning into joy. He raised her dead son back to life. Jesus today is still in the business of doing miracles. He wants to free you from bondage and slavery to depression, oppression, sadness, and grief. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? One of the things you might have to do in the practical realm to be freed from oppression and depression is to step out beyond yourself and do something good for somebody else. Find somebody who is in greater need than you and step out to reach them with the love of God. Maybe you've got $100 to your name, and there's somebody on the streets of downtown Tulsa under a bridge that doesn't have a penny to their name. And maybe God will bring you across their path this week. Buy that person lunch. Spend an hour with that person. Tell that person that God loves them and that you believe in them. And guess what? When you start stepping out of yourself, taking the focus off your problem, your loss, "I can't believe it happened to me." Guess what? When you start focusing on others, the focus on your problem diminishes and becomes smaller and smaller, and you overcome that depression, slavery to depression. We serve a miracle-working God. Say it with me. I serve a miracle-working God. He will free me from slavery to depression. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, he wants to free you in every single area of your life. Most importantly, spiritually, from the grip of sin and from eternal damnation.